This is Appy Monday, a show about building apps. We stream every Monday at 12:30. For the first 10 minutes of the show, we're going to chat with colleagues and friends of mine on the subject of what's new and interesting in the world of apps. And then for the final 20 minutes, we move into our tech session, where we will roll up our sleeves, crank open our laptops, and attempt to write some applications. Coming up on today's show, our panel will discuss building apps with web technologies. And then in the tech session, I'm going to show you a few different ways of taking web assets and using them inside of a Windows 8 application. Today on Skype, I'm joined by Andrew Spooner and Martin Kahn. Andrew is a technical evangelist with a design background. He talks on UX and design at numerous conferences around the world. And I mean that literally. He is huge in Peru. Martin Kahn works as a technical evangelist. He's one of the newer members of our department. He's a fellow Midlander and has been working on building Windows 8 and Windows Phone apps with customers since he joined a year or so ago. Now, anyone which knows me knows that I love to dabble in a bit of HTML. So I thought, what better way to start this show than sort of discuss that? So, Andrew, I was wandering around the office the other day and noticed you were building a sample application called Conversations. And I think that was built in HTML5. So I was wondering, why did you choose to build it using HTML?
Because it just makes sense. It, for me, coming from a web background, it's just very easy. The structure of a native Windows application in HTML is essentially a website. And so that to be able to just look at the structure of an application and see it's something that's hugely familiar breaks down a lot of the barriers straight away.
The app looked really pretty, very quickly as well. Was that in part due to HTML and CSS?
Yeah, it's languages that I've used for, I don't know, probably 15 years or so. And so it just comes very comfortably and it's kind of second nature to use them. And also just the way that the sort of design philosophy across Windows is running at the moment, it lends itself towards simple designs, which are quick to implement and nicely supported by CSS.
The Windows 8 design language does lend itself to CSS. It seems a lot of the design treatments are quite easily achievable using CSS.
Yeah, it is. I suppose the big difference is that you have to get used to calling into some of the unique sort of UI controls you have in WinRT. But you just call those in within your div tags the way you normally would, and then because they've got an ID, you can just start to style them using CSS. So whilst you're using some of the very complicated out-of-the-box UI controls which are native to the platform, you're just styling those things using the languages and the methods that you've always done on the web anyway.
On the Windows platform, it's slightly different to browser-based app development because, as well as web standards, you also have the WinJS library that allows you to do native stuff like, I don't know, unzip files or access the raw accelerometer data. How did you find learning some of those APIs?
The learning of new stuff was fairly easy because it's like whenever you get given a new attribute, like video tag in HTML5, being given that, and then you're given that tag, and then you just have to learn the attributes thereupon, which you can then control it with. And I suppose for a lot of the system controls that you're accessing through JavaScript, it's very similar in that respect.
So Martin, at the Microsoft water cooler, I keep hearing about WAT, or a web application template. I understand that this is different, a sort of different way of building HTML applications for Windows 8. Can you explain a little bit about it?
Sure, yeah. So the web application template is a Visual Studio template, which allows you to take an existing website, so just a regular website you'd normally access through the browser. It allows you to effectively wrap that with native controls and functionality. So you can do things like add app bars and the share charm and search charm and things like that. It also allows you to inject CSS as well, so that you can actually alter the appearance of the underlying website. So typically you kind of remove things out of the way that you wouldn't normally expect to find in an app. And you can really transform sites to kind of make them feel much more like native apps, but the benefit, I suppose, is that it's very quick and easy to do. It's all config driven, and you don't actually have to write much code. If, in some cases, you don't have to write any code really, apart from just a little bit of CSS. So yeah, it's available on Codeplex as a Visual Studio plugin.
So it's fundamentally an iframe around your content, but you get to inject some CSS. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's really the key bit. So the fact that you can inject this CSS, which overrides the default styles that come from the website, that's the bit that allows you to actually alter the site so that it feels much more like an app. And that's where you can really change the experience. That's where it's different to just a standard kind of web wrapper. It's kind of quite a clever web wrapper, I suppose, is a way to think about it. So yeah, you start with just any website. I mean, there are sort of a few restrictions, but pretty much any website, and you can just through a JSON config file, you can add all these features on top of it, including the CSS injection. Really neat.
You use the term feels like an app. It's an interesting phrase. Spooner, what do you think distinguishes an app from a website?
I think one of the things I like about the web application template is that you can remove some of those touch targets, which might traditionally be too small to get with your fingers. And so by injecting CSS, you can remove some of those, which leaves the canvas a little cleaner. And obviously the visual aesthetic across our modern style of application is a much cleaner interface. And then just by employing, so for instance, you might take the menus from your website and put them into the navigation bar, which sits at the top of the screen. And that's a very natural thing for people who are using this style of application on Windows 8. And so by starting to employ some of the system UI controls, it starts to feel like it's part of the platform rather than just another website.
When you show a customer the WAT template, what do they think about it?
I think it comes down to one thing, really, and that's all about cost and time to market. So you can build a WAT-based app in literally a few hours, maybe a day end-to-end. If you understand the underlying website, it's a high-quality website. And it also allows companies to maximize their investment they've already made in their website. So a lot of companies have invested a lot of money in, you know, modern responsive websites, and using this tool they can have an app version of that available within a day or so, compared to the cost of a native app. But if you're a big e-commerce company, for example, a native app is very expensive to build in any language, whether it's HTML or C# or whatever it happens to be. So cost is a big part of it, and kind of getting onto the platform quickly and at a relatively low cost is probably the key thing. And also the other thing to bear in mind is the WAT apps are HTML5 apps, so they're actually hybrid apps, and you can extend them with all of the capabilities that you've got with a native HTML5 app. We've worked with lots of customers that are doing things like having custom live tiles and live shopping cart baskets natively in the app rather than coming through the website. So they're kind of like a starting point on a journey towards a fully native app, is one way to think about it.
Responsive design, why is that important?
It's very important. So the best WAT apps are always based on a responsive website. And the reason for that is because one of the key things about the Windows app design is being full screen and immersive and feeling like it's using every pixel available to it. And that's what responsive web design is all about as well. So it's responding to the size of the screen that's available. If you've got an underlying website that does that, then the app's going to feel much more like a native app. And also, as people use things like Snap View and the side-by-side modes in Windows, the site will adapt, or the app will adapt and fill that space the way a native app would. If the site's not responsive, it just can't do those things because it'll be fixed at 1,000 pixels or something. And if the screen you're looking at on isn't 1,000 pixels, then you're either going to get lots of wasted space or you're going to get a zoomed out view of the app. So having a responsive base is a really key factor, and the best WAT apps are always based on responsive websites.
Web development is becoming very complicated, and now with having to learn sort of app dev as well. If you were starting out today, would you still choose to be a web developer?
Yeah, I think I would. I think there's a lot more tools around these days. There's quite a few nice responsive frameworks. I think I would probably go in that route. It's hard to say because it was a different age when I grew up on the web. I still prefer to go write in. I'd like to have a text editor to edit my CSS and my HTML and JavaScript rather than any sort of GUI. But that's just the way I've grown up with it.
You mentioned responsive frameworks. I've used Twitter Bootstrap. Martin, I know you tried Foundation recently. In fact, I think you've tried both, right?
I have, yeah. I mean, I prefer Foundation. The latest release, Foundation 5, I think is better than Bootstrap. It's very much a horses for courses sort of thing there. I mean, they basically do the same thing in a slightly different way. They both use a grid layout. They both have a load of pre-canned CSS to do things like buttons and panels and those kinds of things. Where I think Foundation has the edge is it has quite a lot of neat JavaScript components. So it has things like really nice pop-up modal dialogues, image rotators, that kind of thing. And that's, again, you don't have to kind of, you can really easily put a site together quickly without really writing any CSS or JavaScript if you use the framework. And that's where I think Foundation just seems to be a little bit more complete to me. But I think there's not a lot between them, really. They're both very similar. Those are certainly the two front runners, I think, in terms of sort of well-known, well-supported, responsive frameworks that are out
there. It's not really worth rolling your own system anymore, is it?
I wouldn't have thought so, yeah. I mean, there probably are scenarios where it makes sense, but I think for general typical websites, I think... Yeah, you're going to save yourself a lot of work if you start with a responsive framework. And also, you can, it doesn't mean to say every site has to look the same. You know, you can obviously have your own CSS over the top of what's provided by the framework and customize it as you see fit. So it doesn't mean to say you have to be constrained in any way. It just does a lot of the heavy lifting for you around the media queries and all that kind of stuff.
So I think the main message is, whether you're developing for web or for apps, responsive design is the way to go. And you probably want to check out Bootstrap or Foundation. So moving on topics, have either of you seen anything interesting in regard to apps recently? Spooner?
So one of the things that I've always enjoyed is logic, applying logic to items. It's something that my dad taught me in early age through electronics and stuff. And so I've been trying to get my kids into it as well. And they like to play games, but there's a project from Microsoft called Project Spark. And what this is trying to do, it's kind of gamifying the act of creation. So it allows you to go into the game and either take apart a world that someone's created or create your own world, to add elements to that, and then to add characters into it as well. And then you can go in to take a character, and each character you can define properties to, so they respond to their environment, and then you can control them and move them around. And I say Project Spark for me has been something just the last couple of weeks that we've really enjoyed playing with in this house. It's great the way that kids can start to see that, oh, this is an object, but it's got capabilities and it reacts in different ways. And for them to apply those is a great thing.
Martin, how about you?
Well, this week I've been particularly enjoying playing Grand Theft Auto for the first time in 15 years. So... I last played that as a spotty teenager when it first came out on the PC, and I kind of downloaded the Windows app literally this week and thought I'll have a look at this. And just as enjoyable running people over with all the malice that I did 15 years ago. And it's just cool to play that on an 8-inch tablet and kind of just a little glimpse back to memory lane for me there.
That's probably a good place to end this conversation. I just want to thank Andrew and Martin for joining me. Next up, I'm going to take a look at using the web application template and show you a few different techniques for building apps with web technologies. Hello, I am Martin Beebe and we are in the tech session. In this section, I'm going to show you how to build a Windows 8 application using two techniques. The first being the WAT application template, which Martin Kern showed you earlier, and the second being a sort of vanilla Windows 8 JavaScript application project. And we're going to use some assets which have been provided me by a company called Play Canvas, and all of that is built just in sort of HTML5 in a pretty kind of standard way, but the games look amazing actually. So first up, we are going to go over to PowerShell, and at the command prompt I'm just going to go and make a directory. In WAT game. Change directory to that game. And I'll just do a git clone from the CodePlex website, where the WAT application template resides, git01.codeplex.com/WAT. You could download this as a zip file. You don't have to use Git, but it's probably best that you do. I'm going to list that. Now we have that WAT application. If I just cd into WAT. We list that again. We have three files. Installable templates Windows 8 development project and also a phone project, because WAT application template can actually generate a phone project as well. Now, if we pop over into the C drive, to actual files, and look into the Windows 8 development project one, the one we're interested in, and then I open up this solution. Now, I've got Visual Studio Ultimate because it's amazing, but an Express SKU of this, which is free, will also work. So you can build Windows 8 applications completely free using the tools, and there's no cost if you're using Express. Ultimate, though, gives you a few more options for different kinds of projects like websites. So what I've done is I've set up, take these assets that have been provided to me, and I've put them into this Azure website, whatgames.azure website. Go into this JSON config file, and I put that home URL and change it to whatgames.azure websites. I run this up. This is the default splash screen image of a Windows 8 application. Don't worry about that green banner at the top at the moment. But now we have the game in this source section here. So if I click play, it's going to work fine with mouse. But when I start touching the screen, you'll start seeing the screen jump slightly. I don't know if you can see that, like, jumpiness. That's because there's some default browser behaviors which are taking place. So we need to fix that. We need to tell the browser, stop hijacking my touch events. So we'll fix that. If we go into the CSS folder and then pop into injected styles.css, and we go into the body tag, and we need to go and put in ms-touch-action and set that to none. And what's going to stop is all of those touch events are going to be handled by us and not the browser. It's going to pass them basically directly to us. So there's going to be no default touch action. So now if we run this again, got the default splash screen again, it should work with touch with any luck. So now if I go and click play, and I'm swiping on the screen, you have to touch my word for it, but you can see that there's no more jittering. The screen's not moving as I touch, and all the touch events and the pointer interactions are actually getting passed over to the application. There we go. So we're swiping and killing these monsters. Look a little bit like Shrek. So I stop that. Go back to the config file. There's tons of things in here that you can change about the application. Sharing, app bar, navigation. We'll switch the app bar off. Switch the nav bar off as well. This is nav bar is a great way of adding a sort of an app-like feel to your application. But for this purposes, we don't need it. You can add live tiles, notifications, all just by configuring this JSON config file. It's quite an incredible little project, this the WAT application project. If we put this header to false, that's going to remove that green, ugly green bar, which we saw. And we can switch off search as well. False. We save that config. All of this is documented, by the way. All of these items are documented. They're actually documented in the app when you default start it. If you don't change that URL, the website it points to is actually the documentation of how you configure it. I'm just going to change the background colors to black. It just improves a little flicker problem that I noticed with this application where the background color seeps through the game. And when you're playing it now with black, it just doesn't look so bad. So now I can swipe. It's obviously running in full screen now. Okay, I'll stop that. One of the other things we want to do is change that default splash screen. We're going to need to install some logos. I'm just going to use some logos that Play Canvas mocked up from Play Canvas's website. Play Canvas is the game engine, by the way, which is running that game. Where's these images? Images, there we go. So take those, and if I just paste them into my project, so if I just put them in the images folder, images folder, paste them there. Let's do all. You probably want to go through all of the different items in that package manifest just to make sure that you provide all the right images. But fundamentally now here we have, you know, things like the tile on the desktop. All of that will now be customized with these images. So we've just removed basically the default images from the package. You have to do that to actually get into the store. You need to make sure that all of the images have been at least provided, else you'll fail certification when you try and submit to the store. Now, one of the things about the web application template, we're just wrapping a website. So the problem is, if we switch Wi-Fi off, you'll see now it looks like you're offline. Please reconnect to use this application. Now, for certain applications, this is fine. So if you're using an e-commerce website, if there's certain classes of application where the web application template is just fine, and having an offline experience like this is absolutely no problem at all. With a game, though, I think this is a little bit funny, because generally the game you might want to play on the tube, somewhere you've not got an internet connection. And so we might want to take a look. We're going to take a look at another way of building this application using the same assets, which doesn't rely on this sort of the having the internet connection. But you'll see, fundamentally, we've got a beautiful little application. It works really well. And, you know, it's taken us 5-10 minutes to actually get this up and running from an existing website where we already have our assets. Now, because we have all these assets in a kind of zip file, what we could do is, rather than putting them on a website and then wrapping the web application template, take all those files, drop them into a fresh Windows 8 application, a default vanilla Windows 8 application, and see what happens. So that's what we'll do. So this is all of the assets of Dungeon Fury the game, Bootstrap.js, Data.js, extensions. These are basically produced, a lot of these assets are produced by the game engine, by the Play Canvas game engine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a file new project. A JavaScript blank application. Use Git source control. Now, if I go and get all the assets from Dungeon Fury, copy them, all of them, and I'm just going to copy those directly into the root of this application. Could probably put it in a different file, make it a little bit neater, but never mind. For one of these applications, the default page that starts is default.html in the package manifest. Now, we need to change this to index.html because that's the default that Play Canvas uses. Index.html. Now, we'll go back into index.html and we'll just add that same little touch hack, or the thing to stop the touches events being all dodgy inside of the application. So MS touch action none. And then if we run the application, we might come across one error, which I noticed earlier. I think it's something to do with the loading of Play Canvas. I've not really looked into why this happens, but it actually doesn't cause any issues with the game. So what I'm going to do is just stop this throw. We're just going to comment this throw out, and I'll investigate that later. Press stop. And then restart this application. And then with very few modifications, actually just suppressing an error, our Play Canvas game now works. It's HTML5, full screen, in an application. Because I've added that MS touch action none, my touch interactions are working as we'd expect them to. I'm able to kill monsters, navigate the game. You get the idea. It works really nice in SnapView because the game is responsive and it will work in smaller viewports. So you can actually still play it whilst you're doing something else on a Windows 8 application as well, which is really nice. It's a key tenant of the Windows 8 platform, the ability to do that SnapView. So, you know, it's nice that that's supported out of the box, and any responsive website will work like that. And also the benefit, if we switch the Wi-Fi off like there, the game still works. Because all of this is running locally on the application, so you can play this game on the tube, you can play it wherever you want, really, and it will all work. Yeah, so there we go. It's a kind of Windows 8 application. We took all of our assets, we popped them into a vanilla Windows 8 application, and it all ran. Fundamentally, anything that runs inside of IE11 is going to be able to work just fine inside of a Windows 8.1 application. It's the identical engine, which is the JavaScript engine and the sort of identical rendering as well. So that's fundamentally it. That's how you build take a HTML and JavaScript game and get it running on the Windows 8 platform. And it only takes about 5-10 minutes. And really, realistically, with the WAT application template, if you take a website, most of the applications we see built using that take around 3 hours, just to finesse things and get things right. That injection of CSS is really important. The ability to kind of manipulate an existing website without actually having to make changes on the server is really powerful, because it means that you don't actually need to have necessarily kind of agreement from the website, the ops team on the website, to kind of make modifications to the live site just to get a Windows 8 application running, which is, you know, often a huge blocker. If you ever need to make changes to your sort of production site, you know, in a relatively big organization, that can take up to 2-3 weeks. So this is great. You can make those modifications. You can remove things just by display none or hiding things using CSS. You can make things larger. You can change the viewport. You can even add responsive elements. You can add media queries, all with injected CSS inside the app, and it will have no effect on the actual main website, but will improve the overall experience of the application. So that's two options if you're a JavaScript and HTML developer. Two options. One is a very, very simple way using WAT application template. You need practically no coding experience to do that. It's just configuration of a JSON file. And then the second one, which is slightly more involved, but potentially leads to better results, is a vanilla HTML and JavaScript application where you just take all of your assets, which you would ordinarily run on the web, and then you put into an application, and it will run just fine. So thank you for tuning in. Next week, we'll be back here at 12:30, and we'll be talking about dealing with data in your applications. Thank you very much.